everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass. A very nice rain, just kind of a gentle rain up at our place overnight. And that's been the case now, two out of the last three nights, and the plants love it. So I'll take it. And the forecast looks like more rain. It's the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, August the 8th, 2022. We are now pushing 12 years here on the radio with the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station, 1030, Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from the station, KVOI. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Every Monday, we kick off our program with the Monday Political Face-Off. Our team of commentators today, Bonnie Heidler is back with us. Bonnie is the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and Chris Ackerley is also with us, former state lawmaker, now chief deputy in the Pima County Treasurer's Office, and this will be the first complete school year that Chris, after 20 years in a classroom, will not be teaching math and physics. You going to miss it?
I am going to miss it. I am going to miss it.
I'm sure you, a lot of the kids will miss you as well. That's a long time teacher, and that kind of experience is so necessary, isn't it, Bonnie?
Yes, it is.
Bonnie, how was your weekend? Did you get some rain?
Yeah, we did. We got a little bit of rain, which is good. My dog doesn't like the thunder, however. But
what type of dog is it?
I have a European Golden Retriever.
Mm-hmm. And the dog tries to hide during...
She just shakes and pants a lot.
Yeah.
She's a big baby.
Yeah, and Chris, you don't have any pets?
I got a dog that runs around the house.
Mm. Okay.
It's my son's.
All right. We've got a lot to unpack from the primary. First of all, Chris, it looked like the hand count audit, which is required by law, went pretty well on Friday in Pima County.
From everything I heard, I wasn't there, but Bonnie was.
It was there. On Saturday.
And Saturday, there you go.
It went really well. I think they finished early because it was going so smoothly. I was there for most of it, and it went really well.
And this was, you know, the problems, Chris, up in Pinal County. I believe they're one of the few states that had not gone to the kind of the voting station, the electronic voting stations. Is that correct?
Well, my understanding is that, I understand that there were like one or two places in Pima County that like ran out of paper. It was just the paper. And as soon as they dropped off the paper, they were all good to go. But in Pinal County, they still use pre-printed ballots. Mm-hmm. And my understanding is that they ran out of ballots.
How do you run out of ballots? You'd think you'd have enough ballots, but there's going to be some changes up there in Pinal County, up in Florence at the county seat. They've got a new recorder.
My understanding is, yes, is the election director was dismissed over the debacle, and so we'll see how the general election goes.
Bonnie, generally, are you happy with the results of this election?
Yeah, generally.
I know as the chair, you've got to be the team player and, you know, hope all the Dems win. But overall,
I think,
looks good for you?
Yeah, it does. I think we have some really good candidates, especially at state level, federal level, so on legislative level. So I think we're going to do really well.
Chris, let's start with what many consider the big upset, at least in Southern Arizona. Longtime conservative lawmaker, and you served with Vince Leach in the legislature. He's done.
He lost the primary. It looks like. I think the difference right now is about 1,500 votes, and I don't think there's any way that gets made up in anything that's left to count. So it looks like he will lose his primary. But it's remember that this turned into a three-way race. So
was that a latecomer on the
well,
ticket?
Well, a new person to the political scene.
Yeah.
And so that third person got way more votes than the difference between Senator Leach and the candidate Wladsack. Mm-hmm. So be interesting to see what would have transpired had it not been a three-way race. And I think that if you look up and down, at least the Republican side of it, because very few of the on the Democrat side were actually competitive primaries. There were a few, but most of them were uncontested in any real sense of the word. But on the Republican side, they were all mostly heavily contested. And if you look at it, you take the governor's race, right?
Yeah.
30,000 people voted for a candidate who was no longer in the race, had declared that he had withdrawn from the race.
Yeah, the Matt Salmon deal.
And so I think what you can take from it is that in general,
yeah,
the voting public is dissatisfied with politics at the moment. They're just simply dissatisfied with politics. Because, I mean, well over three times the difference that will ultimately end up resulting between Kari Lake and Taylor Robeson voted for other candidates in that race.
That's very curious about Matt Salmon deciding at the last minute. Ballots had already been printed.
Yes.
And he drops out. I mean, anyway, that could have been a big difference there. Bonnie, do you have a candidate in LD-17, the redistrict, and as you would, I think you'd say it's gerrymandered, District 17. Do you have a candidate that could beat Justine Wladsack?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mike Nickerson, who's running against her, absolutely, you know, can. And, you know, LD-17 was gerrymandered to get Vince Leach elected. You know, there's documents, that, you know, we had the receipts, if you will, about that, and kind of backfired on him. Which was interesting. I mean, I found that interesting.
Chris?
Having observed that process, I don't believe that it was gerrymandered just for Vince Leach. I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say that LD-17 was gerrymandered. It was just simply a plea from Republicans in Southern Arizona to say, in this cycle, it's time that we had a district in Southern Arizona that has a chance of electing some Republican representation that covers a big chunk of Pima County, because that hasn't happened in the last 10 years.
Well, it actually has. In LD-10, Todd Klotfelter was elected to the House in 16. So it has happened. And he was, you know, in 18. Not elected, and it, you know, turned back to be all Democratic.
Well, we had three Republican representatives that covered a large portion of Pima County over the last redistricting, or the last cycle. I was one of them, but we all won unexpectedly from Democratic districts, and they threw an enormous amount of money. No matter how well we served the districts we were representing, they all threw in an enormous amount of money at us to defeat us in the next election cycle. And so neither of us lasted more than one term.
Our Monday Political Face-Out, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services. That means Moe will gladly come out to your home and make sure what you have had framed goes up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at Fort Lowell and Dodge. They're right next to Copenhagen, and they have a very nice website, moesgallery.com. We're going to pause right here. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. Chris Ackerley is seated to my right, and Bonnie Heidler seated to my left. When we come back on the Monday Political Face-Off, it wasn't just incumbent Vince Leach who lost. I think folks are going to be surprised how many incumbents at the state legislature will not be going back. It was the electorate seems to be in a mood of throw them all out. We'll be right back. Yeah. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We also have support from Green Things. We love Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. And after the really nice rains we've been having, at least up in my neck of the woods, Green Things is looking greener. Their 13-acre site is home to Zocalo, which has all that beautiful merchandise from Mexico. That Talavera pottery looks so good. Jan and Jack, the owners, they make buying trips down to Mexico. They bring back all sorts of goodies. The two websites, greenthingsaz.com and then zocalovillage.com. They are open daily. The business is in, well, more than a half a century. I think it's now their 52nd year of business, and they are open daily. Bonnie Heidler is here, the chairwoman of the Democratic Party of Pima County, and Chris Ackerley, former state lawmaker, chief deputy now in the Pima County Treasurer's Office. Chris, we teased before the break that it wasn't just Republican lawmaker Vince Leach who was upset. There were a bunch of other incumbents going down.
There were. Overall, I believe there were 12 incumbents who lost their legislative bids in the primary. Obviously, Speaker Bowers and Representative Townsend took the headlines.
Yeah,
because
Townsend losing to Wendy Rogers, who spent a ton of money, including a lot of money at this radio station, but she's not in this district. And I had not seen somebody out so far away from her home base spending money in a district where people could not even vote on her.
But, so, yeah, there was a lot of money spent in that race.
So Townsend, she spent that money against a fellow lawmaker. Baker. So Townsend goes down. Speaker Bowers.
But again, it's important to note that Speaker Bowers, I think the divide, and obviously there is some, you know, there is some strife in the Republican Party, but they – if you just look at the headlines and don't look deeper into the race, you can certainly make too much of the Trump, not Trump sort of divide, because Speaker Bowers did not lose to a political newcomer. He lost to former Representative David Farnsworth, who had represented a large portion of that that district for a very long time in the legislature. So he didn't lose to a political newcomer.
Any other names you can give us?
Well, and like I said, besides those two, there were five other Republicans and five Democrat incumbents who lost their seats. Most of them not from our area, so most people mm-hmm. probably wouldn't necessarily recognize their names off it. But it gives you an indication that the voting the voting public just really isn't all that satisfied with the state of politics at the moment on either side on either side of the aisle.
Bonnie, what do you think?
Well, my concern is who's being voted in. If people are not happy with how things were going, voting in people who believe in conspiracy theories, QAnon, that are potentially dangerous to A, our democracy, and B, our security, is very disconcerting to me. And that's who's gotten voted in. So I'm not quite sure what the electorate's saying. You know, the concern is that, you know, somebody who doesn't believe that the election was fair in 2020, being in charge of elections, is a little disconcerting for me.
So the Trump slate of candidates, Bonnie, that won at the top of the ticket, election deniers, they're going to have to move to the center to pick up some votes. Do you think they're capable of doing that?
I haven't seen it, so I don't think so. They certainly don't appear to be trying to get centrists. It seems that they're trying to appeal to the edges.
What do you think, Chris? How is Kari Lake and
I think
this other group going to win without moving?
And I think just focusing on that is I think that leaves us in a bad spot, because I think it underestimates some of the other currents that are floating around. So you have to realize that in primaries, right? Mm-hmm. Any one of those candidates who won a primary won by less than 10%. Of the eligible voters in the general election, mm-hmm. right? On either side. That's just the way math works in a primary. And there was no evidence that in this primary, in fact, it's not going to be a record-breaking turnout in the primary, that there was any engagement by independents. Independents didn't, I mean, in some other states you saw independents engage in the
very
primary.
Very few independents,
but in Arizona,
took part in this primary.
No, there was
a good point.
There was no, and so I think it is simplistic to think that independents are simply going to look at the Republican slate of candidates and say, oh, they're endorsed by Trump. That automatically means that I'm going to vote for instance, the governor's candidate, Katie Hobbs, who has had issues at the Secretary of State's problem, some of them legal, and she has a very left-leaning agenda. And I don't see any evidence on that front that she's doing anything to appeal to right-of-center voters in the independent group of voters in Arizona.
If I were Katie Hobbs, I would try to stay away from any kind of debate with Kari Lake, just not even have much association with her. I think that might be the strategy, Bonnie, from the from the Hobbs people.
It might be, mm-hmm. But Katie did protect our election in 2020. And I think when she becomes governor, that she will be governor for the state of Arizona and do what's best for the state of Arizona.
How about Blake Masters? What do you think of him?
I met him a couple of times mm-hmm. on the campaign trail. Kind of liked him personally. Didn't really, no offense, Blake, but he didn't get my vote in the primary,
uh-huh.
right? I kind of didn't like his campaign style and some of the rhetoric. But overall, the choice is not – you don't ever get the perfect candidate. So the choice in November is – okay, so I had a little bit of issue with some of his rhetoric in the campaign and some of his political style. But at the end of the day, I am not voting for that. I'm voting for the person who I think will best protect my liberties, right? Further the safety of our nation, both at home and abroad, and vote for policies that will lead to a more prosperous economy. And if I compare that between Blake Masters and current Senator Kelly, there's no question in my mind who I'm voting for. I'm voting for Mr. Masters.
Wow.
Masters has called for a national ban on abortion.
Yes. He also, makes his own guns and thinks that, that's good. And that an AR-15 is not used for hunting, but people. The rhetoric that you're talking about, that rhetoric is dangerous rhetoric. And that's the problem. Again, anybody who didn't believe in the election that just happened shouldn't be voted in at all to any office, especially anything where they have authority about security, about our elections, just about everything. It's very scary to me. It's also very scary that stuff that's been going on in other states. Nashville, I heard that there were leaflets anti-Semitic leaflets left at people's houses over the weekend that, in Jewish areas. It's scary to me. This is what the rhetoric does. So rhetoric matters.
What about the education area? We have Tom Horn.
One surprised me.
Former Arizona Attorney General and former Superintendent of Public Instruction. He's back. He is the Republican nominee. His signs say three words: ban critical race theory. That's four words. That's it. That's what he's running on.
Yes, and his tenure in the superintendent's office and attorney general office prior to that dealt with some of those themes. So I don't think this is a new position. And quite honestly, being an educator, we have to be better on guard about what we're allowing into the curriculums at schools. Now, I'm not going to say it is as overt as some of my left-leaning colleagues think we're making it out to be, but there is definitely a bias when it comes to curriculums that are adopted at school districts, and we have to do a better job of being on guard against that.
Yeah, there's a bias to telling the truth about our history. Why would we get rid of that? Also, was critical race theory taught in your school? Certainly hasn't been taught in any other school. So you're banning something that hasn't been taught. It is a discussion point, a theory that has been discussed at the university level. It is not taught in schools.
Did you think it was being taught?
What we're entering here is a semantics game.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
No, the books that are used at universities to discuss a class that is called critical race theory were not the same thing that was occurring in the school districts. It is the themes and the philosophy behind them that bleed over into other areas that seep into other curriculums that we have to be on guard against. So to say that critical race theory wasn't taught is a semantics game. It's the themes and the concepts behind them that seep into a curriculum. Whether it up and down the curriculum, it's not just civics curriculums. It's in all manner.
All right, and our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Should be a very interesting general election, Bonnie and Chris. Believe it or not, the election about 3 months away. So we'll be here before we know it. Bonnie, thanks. Good to see you again.
Good seeing you, Bill.
And Chris, thank you as
thank
always.
You.
Okay. We'll take our break right here. Upcoming, our Better Business Bureau Consumer Alert. And this one has to do with airfares. Should be a very interesting discussion with Denise Alvarez of the BBB. Be right back.
Dine-in or take-out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's time for our monthly segment. Featuring, we call it kind of the monthly scam alert. It's presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. And once again, we welcome to the show Denise Alvarez, the operations manager at the BBB. How are you, Denise?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. It's always great to have you on the program. And today we're going to be focusing on the latest travel scam. It's no secret that airfares have been kind of going out of sight. They've been really going up. But again, there are all these issues with canceled flights. So I guess that's how this latest scam is going to try to supposedly help people out, but not really help them out, just get them into more trouble.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, tell us what's going on.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. You know, flights have been going up. The prices have been increasing. So BBB has received multiple reports of scammers creating fake airline ticket booking sites.
Oh,
so what consumers find is they'll start doing their research, trying to get a cheaper flight. And that's when they take advantage of the consumers and take their money.
So the consumer would be notified your flight has been canceled. And so some consumers would then search for maybe a cheaper flight.
Correct.
And that's where the problem begins.
Yes. And the flight information is accurate. It is from an airline. But the website that the consumers are using is not. That's where the scammers come in. They create these fake websites where you put in your payment information, your contact information, and that's when they'll start contacting you, telling you that your airline has been canceled. Or the other way that they're going about it is also they'll contact you and tell you that you haven't finish booking your flight, or that there's a sudden price increase and that they need more information to take payment. So that's how they get a hold of your information.
And a legitimate company, a legitimate travel company or an airline is not going to do that.
Right. They won't contact anybody individually by text or phone, letting them know, hey, you know, there's a sudden increase in your flight, so we need another $100 to finish booking, or there's a cancellation fee, but here's another flight where we can book you that's also outrageously priced.
So the consumer would receive, Denise, a fake flight cancellation notice? Is that how that would work?
Right, yes. They receive the fake flight cancellation notice via email or text message claiming that you need to rebook it. And when you call the number provided by the airline, and this is the number that is on the fake website, you know, they'll offer to book you a new ticket for a new price. However, if you follow up with the real airline support, you'll discover that, you know, nothing was wrong with your original flight.
Boy, that could really set you up for some, not only are you not going to have your flight, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Absolutely, correct.
So let's talk about ways that people can avoid this.
Yes, first of all, do your research. Go to bbb.org. You can check out reviews and feedback from previous customers on the website that you are using. You want to double check your flight details with the airline. You know, confirm the flight number and other details are correct. And emails and text messages from scammers often look legit but contain fake information. And you also, before you put any information into any website for payment, you want to make sure that it has a lock and that it's a secure website.
That lock, that's really important. I always look for that. That's the little lock symbol up by the URL, correct?
Correct, yes. And so that is what shows that the link that you're putting your information into is secure.
So you really have to be wary of kind of these third-party websites.
Correct. Yes, be suspicious of websites with no working customer service number or physical address. Typos and grammatical errors can be indications of a scammer's handiwork because they usually, they want to put up that website up pretty fast. So they usually have typos in there somewhere.
So, and then make the online purchase with your credit card, right?
Correct, yes. Charges on a credit card can usually be disputed, whereas if it might not be the case with other payment methods.
So how do the scammers know that you're even planning travel, I wonder?
No, they just put up the website and hope that somebody comes across.
Oh.
And it's because you're always looking for a cheaper flight, a better deal.
Sure.
And what we say when consumers call in is, you know, if it seems too good to be true, it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put your information in there. Don't send them any type of payment, because they'll just put up the websites, and they do it multiple times. It's the same website, same kind of look, but different name.
But it looks pretty, is it look professional?
Yeah, and some of them have those grammatical errors, but it does look professional and it looks like a good deal. So most consumers are trusting and put in their information and credit card information. And so that's how they take it. They take, you know, they could do, mm-hmm. take your information.
And you're hearing from consumers about this scam.
Right. It's been increasing with our BBB scam tracker. So if you go to bbb.org/scam tracker, you can find out about the latest scams, put in your zip code, and it'll tell you about the scams going around your area, your community.
What are some of the other ones you're seeing nowadays?
Actually, we've been seeing a lot of them about college and applications for scholarships.
Mm.
That's also been interesting and increasing just because school started.
Yeah.
And so a lot of websites, again, go up that are fake, and the students or parents are putting in their information, applying for these scholarships, and that's how the students end up with identity fraud.
You have to be so careful, Denise, about opening up attachments.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes.
That seems to be a huge red flag, because that seems, you open it up, whether it's somebody on Facebook, and I've been seeing a lot of this on Facebook, a message will come in, Bill, somebody, did you see who died recently?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's to try to then there'll be a
link
to try to get you
to click on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to click on it.
Yeah.
And I won't do that, but I hope nobody else will as well. But they know that people are curious about
it. Right, yeah, those are phishing scams. So they just send them out to a list of people. It's the same message, the same link.
Mm.
But if you hover over the link or the attachment, it does tell you where it's coming from.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't recognize it, don't click on it. And then again, the best thing to do is if you see that, then reach out to the person who sent it to you.
Yeah,
not by
it.
That same message,
no.
But maybe separately.
Yeah. All right. What else is going on at the BBB that you'd like to share with us?
Well, we want to invite every business to our networking mixer on August 25th. It's going to be at American Eat Company and Market from 5 to 7. And all businesses, whether they are accredited with the Better Business Bureau or not, are invited to attend just to network and build new relationships.
What's that location again?
It is American Eat Company and Market.
And these mixers are very successful.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So people get to exchange business cards and kind of in a social environment and just relax, right?
Yes, absolutely. Just network, get to know other businesses in the community. So they're monthly, the fourth Thursday of every month. So again, this month it's on August 25th from 5 to 7.
How about the Torch Awards? You had such a great event in May. What's planned for 2023?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, we have our nominations are now open. So if you go to bbb.org/Tucson Torch, you can nominate an ethical business owner or an ethical business that you know or work for. You can self-nominate your company. So if you nominate, that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll win, because there is an application process, but anybody can be nominated.
What are some of the categories?
We have business ethics, and it's by employee size.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have a nonprofit ethics based on revenue, and a Spark Award, which is for millennial-owned businesses.
All right, Denise Alvarez, again, let's give out that website number for about the scam tracker.
Absolutely. It's bbb.org/scam tracker.
And if you've been a victim of a scam, you and your team want to hear about it, correct?
Yes, please. We want you to share it on the website, or if you want to give us a call at 520-888-5353, we'll be happy to talk to you.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank
Great
you.
To see you. It's bbb.org. We'll take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back. ¶¶
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Looking for a great getaway? How about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? This is a beautiful time of year over there. The rains have really greened up the Gila National Wilderness, so it's a good time of year to do some hiking over in Silver City. Usually the temperatures usually running about 10 degrees below the Tucson area. That, like today, they'll be probably in the mid, in fact, right now, midday, 84 degrees, while here in Tucson, we'll be close to 100 degrees today. So you can see the difference. It does make a difference, the elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet up in Silver City. So you're going to get really nice, kind of coolish nights and very pleasant days. Start your planning now at Southwest New Mexico. Just spell that out, .org. There you will find all sorts of information about great places to stay and all sorts of ways to recreate. Let's welcome now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dr. Mark Sykes, the CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. For more than 50 years now, this Tucson-based nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, great, Bill. It's nice to talk to you again.
Always a pleasure. This news about Russia deciding to leave the space station, this one probably a lot of people saw coming with the what's been going on with the war in the Ukraine. But how do you rank this on a kind of an issue of importance to the United States?
I would not say it's terror. I mean, it's breaking up in space is hard to do, but it's also sad. Because the ISS was really designed as a kind of a joint venture where, between the U.S. And Russia, where Russia controls the propulsion unit up there. You know, all those commands for moving the space station around to avoid things is out of Moscow Center. And there was a recent Northrop Grumman Cygnus spacecraft that went up there and gave a little push. And there may be opportunities for us to we wouldn't be able to take over the command of the propulsion unit probably not easily, but to have alternative means of you know maintaining its orbit for the last 9 years of its life, because it's supposed to come down in January of 31. So there will be some difficulties, and the previous head of the Russian space program made a lot of inflammatory statements. But whether it actually happens or not, it's hard to say, because they've got a lot invested up there, and you can't just break it all apart.
So the space station is good, you said, until 2031. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Up until 2031, that's the authorization that's been passed to continue, you know, its funding, its operation, and until that time. But the space station is kind of getting old, and you know, and so it's not been designed to be parts upgraded all the time to you know, like airlines. You know, you fly an airplane and maybe it was first built in the 80s, but it's had almost every part on it replaced over that period of time.
So if the Russians were to pull out, would the United States go up there and take over the operation for the remainder of its life?
I don't think – well, there's some parts where the U.S. couldn't easily do that, you know, such as its propulsion unit. But so we'd have to find alternative ways of maintaining its orbit and being able to move it out of harm's way if there's some piece of space debris that's heading towards it. Those commands previously were done from Moscow Center. So there'd be some work to do to make it, you know, keep it functional. But I think it would be, you know, I think we could do it.
Would it be a ghost station if the United States decides, you know, this space station with nobody on board? I mean, that's weird.
Well, if it was going to have nobody on board, I think that it would just be brought back down to Earth, hopefully in an ocean someplace.
So blown up like that, yeah.
Oh, God, no, we don't want to blow it up.
No,
because,
no.
You know, that's there's enough garbage up there right now.
Yes.
So,
hey, what's going on with the helicopters now replacing Rover on the next big mission to Mars?
Well, I think it's a great idea because the whole design of the Mars sample return program starting with Perseverance, which is up there right now collecting samples and leaving them scattered over the surface, was not really well thought through. This is my own personal opinion. It'd be because when you're leaving these samples instead of designing something to put them in and take it back, have just one place to go to pick up the samples and take them to orbit, it's just that much more expensive. And so you need a rover class thing to go over the ground that the previous rover collecting samples was going over, instead of just, say, going to wherever it ends up and pick up the box of stuff and then you know, put it up into orbit. So using the helicopter idea, which of course the helicopter was cool, you know, so that was nice, but it's also cheaper than a rover, you know, a lot cheaper. So if you can send up a couple of helicopters, you know, one is backup and one is primary, to go over and fly and pick up and bring back the samples into a basket or whatever you put them in to then launch them up to orbit, it keeps you from having say, two more missions, a rover mission and then a return to orbit mission. You could just have a, you know, or to put down a rover and a launcher, you know, which would be frighteningly expensive. This kind of puts it back into a cost box that may be more reasonable. But it's still going to be a long time before we get anything back to the Earth.
Yeah, so the helicopters would fly the samples, kind of, which I understand are like the size of a cigar, back to the lander. Is that correct?
Well, in the next mission, ideally, they would be putting a rocket down on the surface where they could put the samples inside of the rocket and then launch it up to orbit, to Mars orbit. And then we'd need another mission to then pick up the thing in Mars orbit and bring it back to the Earth. And so so the helicopter would go out and follow the path that Perseverance is on and pick up the samples that it's, you know, dropped along the way. And so it's like an anti-litter campaign. And to they pick these things up and put them in the vehicle that will then take it up to orbit. But then we'd still need another mission that would go to Mars, coupled with the sample package in orbit, and then bring it back to Earth, you know, which is another flagship class mission.
So obviously we've never physically held a sample of Mars rock here.
Oh, yes.
Have we?
Oh, yeah. We got meteorites from Mars.
Oh.
Remember Alan Hill's meteorite that had the Martian microfossils in it back in 96?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was from a Martian meteorite collected in Antarctica, and there's been many meteorites from Mars. But the thing is that we don't know where they're from on Mars, and plus they've been experienced some effects of being heated while, you know, flying through space, falling through the Earth's atmosphere, impacting the surface. You know, they've been beat up a little bit, but primarily we don't know exactly where they came from. And so the advantage of bringing samples back from Mars directly is that we know exactly where they came from. And so there's some context which would be very important in interpreting the further analysis of those samples once they come back to Earth.
One more question about the samples that have been collected by rover and just, I don't know, left in little piles or whatever. Have they been? Is there any way to analyze them? And I know it's not the same as having them in front of you on Earth, but can they analyze them remotely?
No. No, there was no like on the Curiosity rover, you know, it's got the laser thing, it's got the, you know, that's analyzed it. It has a little chemistry set on it, Kim, and where it gives some detailed information about the mineralogy and composition of the stuff that your samples you're looking at. It's been very, you know, valuable in that sense, and. So we won't know anything about these samples until they actually, you know, get back. But I would advocate that, given how expensive it is to do Mars sample return, I mean, it's the whole thing's going to be probably well over $10 billion at the end of the day. So like another JWST in a sense. That it would be really interesting to see if we were to say, let's take $1 billion. And, you know, so 10% of this whole thing. What kind of instruments could we develop? New technology, converting the laboratory facilities that are pretty large that we're going to be doing all this fancy work on these samples we bring back from Mars, to miniaturize it and be able to deploy it on Mars or some other body.
All right.
And then we wouldn't have, you know, we could do kind of sample return level science on not just the moon and Mars, but maybe, you know, moons of Saturn, Jupiter, and asteroids.
Gotta go.
Sorry.
No problem. Mark, have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
Have a great day, everybody.
Bye.